And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the business of life. All three of my guests are talking about issues that can improve your life. My first guest won 7 lottery grand prizes for over $1 million. He discussed his lottery system, how to play and win big, from his book, Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery. My second guest has had a revelation after he was mugged. He discovered that business and corporations are the dominant fact of contemporary life. And we discussed why it's so terrible that life is becoming more businesslike from his latest book, Life Incorporated. My next guest is a model bureaucrat. He eradicated multi-million dollar deficits at the Rochester Genesee Regional Transportation Authority, the RGRTA, and he replaced them with surpluses. We're going to discuss the lessons that he learned about business and life from his latest book, Driving Excellence. Mark Ash is the CEO of the Rochester Genesee Regional Transit Authority, and he has been there for nearly 20 decades in strategic leadership experiences. In addition to turning deficits into surpluses for the RGRTA, and he reduced reliance on taxpayer subsidies, he increased the demand for the service 3 times the national average, and that was an unprecedented move for that group. Prior to the appointment as CEO in 2004, Mark was the chief of staff for the RGTA. He was the district director for the U.S. Representative Bill Paxson. Many of you may remember him. Mark's efforts to affect the industry by changing separate government and making his government agency more businesslike led to its effect. Mark is a member of the Young Presidents of Organization, which is an international organization comprised of influential CEOs below the age of 50. Mark graduated from SUNY at Rockport, which is the State University of New York at Rockport, with a degree in communications and history. Interestingly enough, Mark grew up on a small farm in upstate New York. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you today?
Thank you very kindly. I cannot wait to call my mom. She's going to be so proud to learn that I'm a model bureaucrat.
You are a model bureaucrat.
I'm like so jazzed about that.
Well, you should be jazzed about it because your accomplishments speak for themselves, Mark. They really do. You took a situation, I think it was a $60 million swing from deficit to surplus under your tenure there at the Rochester Transit Authority. So, I mean, that's commendable under anybody's scenario, but in these times, it's even more commendable. So I want to say congratulations for that, for running your public agency with a private sector mindset and achieving those results. I mean, we need more people like you in public service. But I guess the key to your success was creating what you call the culture of no ego. Well, describe what you mean by that and how you instilled that at the RGRTA.
You know, I think you really struggle, and the example that I would give is, you know, you come in and you see, and in California, you really experience this, where you've got these very strong public employee unions who sort of think that the organization exists for the sole purpose of giving them money, rather than to actually, you know, provide something of value. And so I told the story to our employees over and over again the first couple of years that I was CEO, when we were so upside down financially, about how when I was a little 7- and 8-year-old kid, we would get up on Christmas morning and have to go out and do 90 minutes of barn chores, feeding the cows and cleaning up after them, before Santa Claus delivered our presents. And so you get employees to begin to get that mindset, to recognize that maybe this isn't all about how much I can get out of this place. I have to give a little bit back.
I see. Well, it's interesting because in your book you talked about, as so many other organizations do, that your number one asset there was people. However, few organizations that say that really mean it. You faced a particularly difficult challenge because you had to deal with a powerful bus drivers union to achieve your results. So you told them stories like the Christmas story and others, but how did you eventually turn their mindset from me, 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 gimme, 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 to a mindset where if we all work together, we can achieve some remarkable things?
You know, the example that I would give, and I'll maybe continue this little Christmas metaphor that we've got, used to be years gone by, our company, and it's a public agency, we would have a Christmas party for our employees, and they were encouraged to bring their family and bring their friends. And so you'd have all these folks walk in, and we had 750 employees at the time.
Wow.
And we would have barbecued ribs and chicken and salt potatoes, and it was, you know, a wonderful thing. And these employees would leave the Christmas party with three plates balanced on each arm, covered in aluminum foil, taking as many barbecued ribs out of the place as they could possibly get. And the thought process was one for the employees, how much can I get out of this place?
Mm-hmm.
And that carries over to discussions about salary and pensions and health care benefits. We've now reached the point, when you go to one of our Christmas parties, employees actually bake Christmas cookies and bring them in to share.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a small example of a Christmas party being changed fundamentally of what it's all about. And that's really been able to come to a higher screen for us, where employees recognize maybe it really does matter if I drive the bus on time, which has gone from 76% to now 88% on-time performance. Maybe it really does matter if we answer the phones faster, or if we clean the buses better, or if I smile when a customer gets on board. So it's those little kinds of things about Christmas parties that really manifest itself in a whole cultural change of how you run a public agency.
That's great. We're talking to Mark Ashe, everybody. His latest book, Driving Excellence, Transform Your Organization's Culture and Achieve Revolutionary Results. And he has certainly done that up there in Rochester, where he's turned around massive deficits into surpluses where he works. So give us the secret sauce, if you will, Mark. What were some of the bold, non-traditional steps that you took to revolutionize the RGRTA within the seven-year period?
Well, I think the first thing, and I think this is really, you see this in government management all the time. Remember when you were a kid and, you know, you'd have your stuff, in our case it was farm work, kind of caught up, and your parents would pile all the kids in the back seat and you'd go out on a Sunday afternoon drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun, you know, and dad kind of, you know, turns left and turns right and goes wherever, and it's very kind of an ego-driven process. The same thing tends to carry over, I think, certainly in government management and arguably in all kinds of management, where dad, the CEO, kind of takes the company or the county or the school district or the transit system, sort of turns left and then he turns right and then he goes this way, and the employees are all kind of sitting in the back saying, where the heck are we going? And we've really transformed that into what I call destination management, where we pull out a map and we put an X of where it is that we're trying to drive this thing, and we focus everybody, all shifts, all employees, all different schedules, on that's what success is. That's where we're trying to get.
Okay, so destination management, I like that. So it gives people a sense of direction. It gives people accountability if you get there or if you don't get there. That's good. So what were some of the, I mean, that was challenging in and of itself. You've got the bus drivers union that probably didn't want to agree with where you were going. They looked at the map and said, we probably know better. How did you get them, if you will, to get on board the bus?
I had early on a meeting when we were facing this massive multi-million-dollar deficit, and it looked like we were literally not going to make it through the year. So I'm having this meeting. We've got probably 250 of our 750 employees at the time are at this meeting. Bus driver standing in the back of the meeting hall. He's standing tall. He's 6'5". He's 350 pounds, arms folded, gold chains, gold earrings, and he's got this big sign hanging around his neck which says liar. And I'm assuming that it's not a name tag. So he is just in my face saying, we had money, it's all good, what did you do with it? And just really, really aggressive. Fast forward a year, and we had saved the company, and we were going to make it, and we were just about to run our first year of surplus. And I invited all the employees, typically just the CEO would sign a letter submitting our plan to the board, and I invited all the employees that helped to save us the last year to come up and sign the letter. So it'd be from everybody rather than just me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't this employee come up and he looks down at me and he kind of growls and he says, I'm not signing the letter. And I said, well, that's okay. It's for people who, you know, felt like they helped. You don't have to sign it. And he said, I'm not going to sign it because I can't. I can't sign it because I didn't help this past year. I didn't believe in what we were doing, and I was an obstacle. But next year I'll be able to sign the letter.
Wow. Powerful story. We're talking to Mark Ashe, everybody. His book, Driving Excellence. I like that story. I mean, that's very heartwarming, and it tells you that you had gotten that big guy on board, on the bus, if you will. Now, Mark, I want to look at your life history just a little bit, and looking at your background, you went from dairy farmer to college grad with a degree in, of all things, communications and history. So, you know, looking at that path, no one would have ever thought that you'd end up where you are. What is it that was in your upbringing or in your early childhood that prepared you for the challenges you took on?
Boy, that is a good question, and not one that I know that I've been asked. I think it's one of those where, you know, when you grow up on a farm, there are some fundamental principles that are established, that there are things more important in life than what your needs are, which is probably what attracts me to public service. I probably enjoy doing it with a business mindset, this place where we've been able to get where we've actually cut fares and we run surpluses and reduce reliance on taxpayer dollars. That's probably that sort of farmer feeling that you always kind of look inward and the farm takes care of itself. You don't sort of walk around with a woe's me type attitude. And that's kind of how we've run the organization. We don't go to the state capitol. We don't go to Washington with our hand out begging for more money. You know, we just sort of look inward to our, quote, farm family and take care of business ourselves.
All right. So it's more that self-reliant New England sort of philosophy that we do it ourselves or we don't do it at all. I like that. Well, Mark, let me ask you to extrapolate outside of the RGRTA for me for just a second. If you look across the country, you see public transportation systems that are bumping fares. They're cutting services. More importantly, they're laying off people, cutting back in just ways to try to hang on. So what can other public servants learn from your experience, would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad that you asked it. I wrote the book not to tell a story about some silly bus agency in Rochester or about the transit system or anything like that. It's a message for, can you imagine a world where school districts actually cut taxes, did a better job of educating kids so that we competed better nationally, and teachers' pay was tied to the fact that we actually got the kids to learn better.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, and you think about that, you think, well, that's unimaginable. Well, 7 years ago, could I have been thinking I'd be sitting here talking to you today saying, hey, guess what? We're going to cut fares, have 5 straight years of making millions of dollars, and we're going to be less reliant on taxpayers' money. But here we are, and there's no reason we can't do that with school districts and counties and water systems and really entire states.
All right, but people listening to the sound of your voice, Mark, are going to say, yeah, that's great, but Mark had that farm mentality, that farm feeling, and he brought it with him. It was all his personality. Really, what type of leader or what type of organization is best suited to implement what it is you're teaching?
I think it needs a couple of things. We were fortunate, and in California, you're in a similar situation. I think you need a crisis. I mean, it does help to have a crisis.
We are there.
Because it does help you to say, holy smokes, we got to do something. The bus is out of gas. And you have that today, number one. Number two, you really do need the right leadership in place, people that are, you know, committed to making the changes that are necessary. And then the third piece, quite honestly, is just having the guts to make the right decisions. It's so easy to do what I call bumper sticker talk, where you just throw fancy phrases up on a bumper sticker and you say, you know, we're going to pick up customers instead of passengers, or, you know, the era of big government is over, or, you know, I'm for lower taxes. You know, that's a kind of simple bumper sticker type stuff. But to actually implement it, to really make the roll up the sleeve changes that you need, that takes some courage. And that's what the last chapter of the book is about, is having the courage to make those decisions that you need to.
We're talking to Mark Ashe, everybody, his book, Driving Excellence. Mark, do you have any aspirations for higher public service, perhaps Albany in New York or even Washington, D.C.?
I cross my fingers every day, and I hope to God that I never run for public office. I love doing what I do of trying to manage a public agency with a business mindset, but I have no interest in running for elective office.
All right, that's well said. Mark, last question before I let you go. What did you get out of writing the book?
I really helped to crystallize my thinking as to how this was great that we did this at a bus agency in Rochester, but how you could repeat this all across the country in all kinds of different service sectors. That it's not a book about transit in Rochester. It's a book about school districts and hospitals and not-for-profits and transit systems and counties and states. And so that's the lesson that I had, that you really can repeat this thing.
All right. We've been talking to Mark Ashe, everybody. His latest book, Driving Excellence, Transform Your Organization's Culture and Achieve Revolutionary Results. Mark, if people like what they hear from you, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Best place to come is to my website, which is Mark Ashe. It's MarkAesch.com.
MarkAesch.com. And there you can find out everything about him, his organization, and, of course, the book. Mark, it has been a pleasure having you on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you ever so much.